time we get back to the book of Revelation. I think we left off about the 13th chapter. John the Revelator. Glad you all got here finally. John the Revelator is speaking. He's being shown things of the future by God. Page 303. You got a Bible like mine. Page 303. Chapter 13. The book of Revelation. If you don't have a Bible like mine. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Underline that. No, circle it. Right in the margin. The beast that I saw was like unto a leopard. That's a clue. Because what he is going to unfold is Antichrist's kingdom. The kingdom yet to come. And no, there's not some little boy living in the Middle East killing people for practice. Who is the Antichrist as yet unveiled? Don't pay any attention to those National Enquirer stories. They're at their worst when they interpret Bible. And that's pretty worster. But there is an Antichrist kingdom coming. The word Antichrist means substitute deliverer. And here's the picture of him. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and he incorporates some other qualities. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, there are lots of people who try to belittle the devil as though he don't amount to much. And there are Christians who think they're going to go through the tribulation. They will. They will. If you think you will, you will. They'll find out how powerful the devil is. It is the dragon, the devil, that gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. Now, there are some symbols here I want you to write down. Leopard. That's the fundamental quality of that beastly kingdom that is to come. Feet, that's where you stand. Gives you a geographic key. Feet is the bear. Mouth voice. Speech, proclamation, sayings, lion. And the dragon, that's old Satan. You know that from a later chapter where it says he sees an angel come down after Armageddon and lay hold on that old serpent, which is the dragon. He identifies him as Satan. This beast has seven heads, a key to its history, and 10 horns, and crowns upon the horns. Now, where do you get the key to this beastly character? Well, let's describe him a little further before we talk about it. I saw one of his heads. How many heads did it have? Seven heads. Now you know I can count seven. Seven heads. Now, one of the seven, and on the heads, 10 crowns. Now, notice that this is focused by the placement of the crowns at a time in future. The crowns symbolize reigning quality. And the crowns are on the head. Or rather, the crowns are on the horns rather than the heads. This beast is the outgrowth of seven heads, but he sees it at a time that there are 10 crowns upon 10 horns. It's the horns that are crowned. None of these symbols, read, I'm moving slowly, none of these symbols are accidental. I saw one of his heads, not one of the 10 horns, one of his heads, as it were wounded to death. What's your margin say? Smitten in some cases, slain in others. Receiving a stroke of death, in other translations. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Now, one of these heads, not the crowns, wounded. Now, another phrase that we'll speak later of this head is, was, is not, will be. The process of wounding unto death. One of his heads wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Now, you'll have Bible preachers, and I've told you this before, you'll have Bible preachers, every time there's an assassination attempt on a world leader, they're going to say, there's Antichrist. There was a rumor circulating for a long time that Gaddafi had been the victim of an assassination attempt. God be so kind. And that he had been wounded in the head and was secretly recuperating. Antichrist. There were those, when Jack Kennedy was shot, already prepared their Sunday message. Wounded in the head, he would revive, and he'd be Antichrist. I'm boring you. No, sir. You got to lay it. We haven't been in Revelation for a long time, so I got to lay this foundation again slowly. It will make sense of what's going on in the Middle East. Then Robert Kennedy was shot. And they dusted off the notes of the sermon they were going to preach when Jack was shot. This is symbol. The heads are the heads in this symbol. Whatever the heads mean, when you've identified what the heads mean, you have identified that which is typifying what the specific head means that will be wounded to death and then recover. Unless you get that straight, it's like when I preach on the lost tribes and the riddle of Ezekiel. Everybody knows the cedar of Lebanon is the dynasty of David's kingship. But when a young twig of that cedar is planted in the high mountain of Israel, they try to make it geography. The cedar was not a tree. It was a dynasty that the tree symbolized. Therefore, the mountain is not a hunk of rock. It is the people, and the height of the people, Israel. Don't mix your symbols with reality when the symbol is the same throughout. Don't make this beast with seven heads individual historic creatures. Otherwise, Gaddafi and Jack and Robert are heads on this beast. And that's a monster that Barnum and Bailey would run from. He's not talking about individual historic personalities per se. Whatever the seven heads are on this beast, one of them will be wounded to death, will recover, and be worshipped in his recovery, and that will be the foci of Antichrist worship. Antichrist will be the personification of this wounded head who is now healed, risen, alive and active again. And they worship the dragon. That's Satan himself, which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him, he wasn't born with it, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. How long is that? 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name. This is all going to happen, friends. This is Antichrist coming around the bend to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and then that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. And that proves it. Some of them say, saints going to be there in a tribulation. So this deadhead wonder will have saints to make war against and overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Saint simply means people who commit themselves to God. God has saints among the Jews. Jimmy Swaggart doesn't know that. But it's only important that God know it. God even has saints among those poor misguided ones that believe they're going to go through the tribulation. And they will. There'll be lots of people left here during the tribulation that qualify as saints. Well, what about the rapture? Well, I'll be in it. I'm going to be raptured. I'm going to fly. How's the song go? I can't fly, not just yet, but I'm going to. You want to bet? Now, I'll put that rapture in a set time sequence in a moment, but there'll still be saints here. The 144,000. Sorry about Jehovah's Witnesses. Neither listening to the record or not listening to it will make you one of the 144,000. An angel of the Lord will put a mark in the forehead of them. They'll be here during the tribulation for a while. And they'll be caught up too. That's at least two raptures. You know, people have been fighting for years over this rapture theory. Is it, quote, I'm going to use some jaw-breaking theological words just to show some of my enemies I know them. Pre-tribs, mid-tribs, post-tribs. And there's the amillennialists and the premillennialists and the never-millennialists. Now, they fought over the rapture. Pre-tribs say you go up before the tribulation. Mid-tribs say you go up in the middle before this 42 months, 3.5 years starts. And the post-tribs say you go up when it's over. And they're all wrong and they're all right. Because there are people going up all three times. I just want to be in the first bunch. But I want to tell you something. I've already lost that distinction. Because the first bunch went up, the book of Matthew says, when he came out of the grave and went up. As he went first, not yet having ascended to the Father. And Ephesians says, as he fought his way through the heavenlies, he took a host with him. So some of you that date your ancestors pre-first century may be going to a grave that's vacant. Because some of them already went. Oh, I can never believe that. I mean, you know, it's all right to believe in God, but don't try to stuff that kind of stuff down my throat. It's okay to believe that He spoke and not a thing became everything. It's okay to believe that the Word of God just materialized everything. It's okay to believe all those Old Testament things, wars in heavens and Satan cast out. Don't expect me to believe God can. I can even believe God raised Jesus from the dead, but that took all the energy He had on the rest of His time. Why the resurrection is so important to the Christian faith. I mean, there's an awful lot of nutty things that are in this book, and it calls for a big leap of faith. And I couldn't make that leap until I settled the resurrection, but I can believe that. If He came through that rock, left those grave wrappings there for somebody else to find, got out before they moved the stone, because the angels rolled the stone away, not to let Him out, but to let people in to see He's gone. He went through the thing. Through a locked door and sailed off in the blue. Once I cross that hurdle, I can believe the rest of this stuff. That's the hardest one. That's why you better settle Christian faith. You don't have to be a Christian to be in this church. You know, you can sit here if you're a Muslim. I don't care. I just want people to understand what Christianity is. And Christianity starts with the proclamation of a miracle. That's what makes it so hard to get real faith. Now, some of this rubber stamp stuff being peddled by others comes easy. Just imitate their little old motley complexion spiritually and make yourself ugly and you're a Christian. But New Testament Christianity requires that courageous turn around the past says, unbelievable though it may be, He rose from the dead. And when I can cross that hurdle, and that's a historic fact being asserted for which there's evidence that until you look at it, you can't come to a conclusion, but when you look out. I've yet to find one that I can ask a few questions, and if He has looked at the evidence, I'm sure some exist, but I haven't met them. It's overwhelming. Now, if you can believe that, well, you're already out in funny land. So this doesn't come so hard. And there'll be saints here after I'm gone. I can't be the first one up, but I'm going to be the first one in the 20th century. At least I'm going to tie for the lead as we take off. I want to be on the side of the globe that's aimed toward heaven. He's going to overcome the saints. He leads them into captivity. Then he says, I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had horns like two horns, like a lamb. Looked just like Jesus. Clerical collar and all. Wearing all the preacherly vestments. My Lord, I'm wearing one today, a three-piece suit. I thought I'd graduate from that. He's going to look just like Jesus. Two horns like a lamb. He'll say, God, very properly. But he spake as a dragon. You'll not be able to tell this false prophet by looking at him. He'll go through all the motions. You got to analyze what he says. And you're not going to be able to judge him on the basis of miracles. The stage is being set for the false prophet with the creation of an unnatural appetite for spiritual miracle. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast. That means he gets it from the devil. And the devil's pretty powerful. Even though he looks like Jesus, causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. This Antichrist apparently lacks the power to command worship by himself. The instruments of his power will include government, because he will be the ruler controlling this ten-crowned kingdom. But he can't get the job done without a false church, a false prophet, a religious leader, or a religious group that leads, that will cause all that dwell on the earth to worship the first beast. Don't worry, Antichrist isn't coming out of Russia. You know, it's just a simple matter of deduction. You people are scared of it. What's his name? Grabbing Chuck? I never bothered to learn those people's names because they don't scare me much. I'll tell you what's going to happen to Russians, whole bunch. When God gets ready, Ezekiel 39, Ezekiel 40 says, you just put hooks in their jaw and pull them out to get killed. There'll be so many of them die. Throughout the millennium, there'll be a special graveyard with flags on it that says, here they lay. The valley of the multitude of God. I still remember Merv Rozelle when I was a young man preaching. He played sax too. He was a pretty nice evangelist. I remember him preaching in Kansas City at a convention once. He says, everybody wonders what's going to happen to Khrushchev. Now, he was a candidate for Antichrist in those days. Every one of them get it, you know. You haven't really achieved much when you become a candidate for Antichrist. It's been occupied by some real flakes in this world. There are more books in garbage cans and authors that have disappeared over the hill who picked wrong. But I remember Merv Rozelle saying, this is a big youth rally. You want to know what's going to happen to Khrushchev? And everybody's on the edge of their seat. He's going to die. You want to know what's going to happen to Grabbing Chuck and his PhD wife? They're going to die. No big deal. I'm telling you, Antichrist will not come out of Russia. They're very anti-God, eliminate religion philosophy is their weakness. I'm talking as a strategist in terms of them wanting to get the job done. Not talking spiritually. Antichrist is going to be someone who uses religion and who cultivates a false prophet, accepted preacher or group of preachers or a church that will use their religious role to make people worship Antichrist. So don't look for Antichrist to come out of a seedbed that is eliminating religion. It's going to happen with an alliance between Antichrist, empowered by the devil, and a false church that looks like Jesus but speaks from the dragon. Now, doesn't it comfort you to know the Antichrist isn't going to come out of Russia? Oh, you already knew it anyway. I got smart people. But, you know, once in a while I comfort the nuts. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him, caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in sight of men. That'll get a crowd. Get firefighters too, but it'll get a crowd. Not just, come on. You have any idea what these miracle hunters would do if a preacher who looked outwardly just like Jesus could duplicate Elijah's role and call fire down from heaven? That particular brand of television Christianity that magnifies all these testimonials. You know how quick this guy would get invited to all the religious talk shows? Huh? One reason I know I'm going to the rapture, my nose would put out any fire that ever came. When I get tired, you never know what's going to happen. What's going to come from my lips? He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. How? By the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Walk. Walk. And it'll spread like wildfire. Well, he just moves his hand and people fall down like 10 pins. There are churches that say Spirit of God is not present if people don't fall down. False prophet will outfall them all. Well, it's got to be God because people are getting healed. False prophet will outheal. He'll make Oral Roberts look like a kindergarten practicer. Miracles don't mean a damn. Yeah, maybe they do. They damn some people. You got the picture? I'm moving slow. I want this foundation laid. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound with the sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, there's one for you. If you take it literally, the true colors of this false prophet will come out. He'll create an image of the beast and will give it either life or the appearance thereof so convincing that people bow down to it. If you take it figuratively and spiritually, he will perform miracles that attract people in worship to this Antichrist ruler. He had power to give life to the image of the beast, and he causes it. Who? Who causes it? Who? False prophet. I mean, how many times have you been told Antichrist is going to make you take the mark of the beast? You've ever been told that? There are people who wouldn't take Social Security number because Antichrist making them take the mark of the beast. They weren't too far off, by the way. How many of you ever heard that? Antichrist is going to make you take the mark of the beast. False prophet does it. The Antichrist can't get it done without a false church that persuades people to do it for the following reasons. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads. The laser technology is already there. It's already been demonstrated to plan a number. And those Social Security people weren't that far off. Won't be long until everything will revolve around that very convenient number that feeds into the computer. All you got to do is put a prefix on it. Your Social Security number with a prefix that identifies your health insurance. Your Social Security number with a prefix that identifies your bank account. Your Social Security number with a prefix that identifies your driver's license. Your Social Security number with a prefix that identifies your part of the marriage license. Some of you are already seeing 666 appear on some of your banks, on some of your large department store credit, or whatever you call those things they send you, your account number. How many have seen 666 show up? Some of you already got it showing up occasionally on your checks. You ever notice that? Well, that's very simple. A 6 is the easiest number to work with in the computer. Isn't it interesting? This old guy out on the Isle of Patmos figured that out in the first century. What a guesser. I mean, you know, he figured out a 6 is what you need for convenient, swift work in a computer. And I can tell you what that 666 is. It's already being set into the program to enable these larger department stores, larger credit companies and banks that are part of the system to coordinate with what they call the beast, though it's not the Antichrist, that computer in Brussels, and the international code that feeds it into that program is 666. And there's another number that separates it for the United States, or for Great Britain, or for Brussels, and they're already getting ready for that. The technology is there to plant it under your skin, capable of being scanned quickly. You never see it in natural light. John was pretty smart. Yet, you know, when he wrote his gospel, he learned quick. When he wrote his gospel, all he knew was one-syllable words. In the beginning. There, that's an exception. Was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Two of them. Look how smart he got by the time they banished him to the Isle of Patmos. He figured all this computer stuff out. He figured out they could hide it. You know there ain't no man, no woman, no vain woman in the world that you put a mark in their hand or the forehead. They'd starve first. Now it's not even seen. He can do it. You know, pull out all this paperwork, just go through the little scanner. Keep going. Money is about to pass away. You just go to the store and they'll debit your account, credit your account at the store. Boy, John was smart. That no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 600, 360. 3 times 20, a score is 20. 600, 360. 666. I'll make you a bet. We're right on the edge of most of the buying and selling transactions in this world being done through a number with 666 in front of it. In fact, that's become so common, and one of the good things that some of the prophecy preachers have been doing is they have focused in on this. And we now are realizing it's happening all around us. John saw it 2,000 years ago. And a false prophet, a preacher, with a message from the devil, in order that you might get on with buying and selling, because the orientation is the time down here. I mean, what is there left if you can't buy and sell? In order that humanism might prevail, looking out for number one, take the mark. Now that's the scenario. Where do we interpret all this? Well, I'll tell you straight out. You'll find in Daniel, the leopard is Greece. You'll find in Daniel, the bear is Medo-Persia. You'll find in Daniel, the lion is Babylon. And the dragon is Satan. What this beast in symbol is being characterized as is a reconstitution of the leopard kingdom and the power thereof of ancient Greece, geographically with its feet planted in the territory of the ancient Medo-Persian Empire, with the power and philosophy and that which comes out of the mouth, an expression of that ancient enemy of God, the philosophy of Babylon. That's what this is saying. And behind it all is the dragon, which is Satan. This dragon has empowered kingdoms in his image that have passed through seven. And those seven kingdoms have been a constant enemy to the chosen ones of God. Now, there are lots of kingdoms in this world, but there are certain ones, because Satan's purpose is to defeat the Word of God. The minute God says something, Satan arrays his army to make sure it does not come to pass. The minute that God chose Abram and elected the people to be his oracle and gave them promises, that instant, Satan could forget about a lot of other people. He marshaled his armies, the imps of hell, to do the counterfeit and to make God's word not come to pass. And seven kingdoms proceed that hate, attack, and seek to destroy God's people. Who are they? I'll go to the 17th chapter. Am I boring you? Now, may I only lay the foundation today, but I'll say one thing very specific before I quit, and it looks like I took a bath in chalk now. 17th chapter, page 307. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me. We're well into the tribulation period. And Daniel identifies that tribulation period as the 70th week of 70 weeks of years that the angel told him would encompass the events necessary for God to work his purpose on the Jew and on Jerusalem. 69 of those weeks of years have already passed. A gap occurred. Paul described it as God turning from the old natural olive tree to graft on a wild olive branch. The church and those Gentiles that have become the spiritual seed of Abram. But before history rings its final blind down, God will return to the Jew and the city of Jerusalem for 7 years. And 3.5 of those 7 years are the 42 months referenced earlier in this message. In that 7-year period, tribulation occurs, which is defined as the tribulation, the great tribulation, to distinguish it from normal tribulation in this world, the rain falling on the just and the unjust alike, the tribulation of persecution of the saints by evil men in this world or even by Satan. The tribulation is the wrath of God poured out for 7 years. We're at that period. One of the seven angels with the seven vials talked with me and said, "Come hither. I'm going to show you the judgment of the great whore."
with all this? Well, I'll tell you straight out. You'll find in Daniel, the leopard is Greece. You'll find in Daniel, the bear is Medo-Persia. You'll find in Daniel, the lion is Babylon. And the dragon is Satan. What this beast in symbol is being characterized as is a reconstitution of the leopard kingdom and the power thereof of ancient Greece, geographically with its feet planted in the territory of the ancient Medo-Persian Empire, with the power and philosophy and that which comes out of the mouth, an expression of that ancient enemy of God, the philosophy of Babylon. That's what this is saying. And behind it all is the dragon, which is Satan. This dragon has empowered kingdoms in his image that have passed through seven. And those seven kingdoms have been a constant enemy to the chosen ones of God. Now, there are lots of kingdoms in this world, but there are certain ones, because Satan's purpose is to defeat the Word of God. The minute God says something, Satan arrays his army to make sure it does not come to pass. The minute that God chose Abram and elected a people to be his oracle and gave them promises, that instant, Satan could forget about a lot of other people. He marshaled his armies, the imps of hell, to do the counterfeit and to make God's word not come to pass. And seven kingdoms proceed that hate, attack, and seek to destroy God's people. Who are they? I'll go to the 17th chapter. Am I boring you? Now, may I only lay the foundation today, but I'll say one thing very specific before I quit. Now, it looks like I took a bath in chalk now. 17th chapter, page 307. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me. We're well into the tribulation period. And Daniel identifies that tribulation period as the 70th week of 70 weeks of years that the angel told him would encompass the events necessary for God to work his purpose on the Jew and on Jerusalem. 69 of those weeks of years have already passed. A gap occurred. Paul described it as God turning from the old natural olive tree to graft on a wild olive branch. The church and those Gentiles that have become the spiritual seed of Abram. But before history rings its final blind down, God will return to the Jew and the city of Jerusalem for 7 years. And 3.5 of those 7 years are the 42 months referenced earlier in this message. In that 7-year period, tribulation occurs, which is defined as the tribulation, the great tribulation, to distinguish it from normal tribulation in this world, the rain falling on the just and the unjust alike, the tribulation of persecution of the saints by evil men in this world or even by Satan. The tribulation is the wrath of God poured out for 7 years. We're at that period. One of the seven angels with the seven vials talked with me and said, "Come hither. I'm going to show you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." You know, God's in the New Testament here. I mean, you know, he's embarrassed us in the Old Testament with his bluntness. And here he goes again. I mean, this is the last book of the Bible. Why does he have to use these graphic illustrations? "I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore." The great bleep. "That sitteth upon many waters."